Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While Jesus was going through a field of grain on a Sabbath, his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Have you not read what David did when he and those who were with him were hungry? How he went into the house of God, took the bread of offering, which only the priests could lawfully eat, ate of it and shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It's beautiful to be together on this first Saturday. Today is St. Patrick's Week again, a devotion that has been instituted in the life of the Church due to the apparitions of Our Lady at Fatima in Portugal. First Saturday is a devotion that is called to renew our hearts, to be totally rent open, to be purified for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the heart that was fully open, fully disposed to the Lord's love, is the heart of Mary. In the economy of salvation, in the life of the Church now, we still believe that her heart is the perfect heart. We still believe that her heart is totally open to God, and that God is always working through the order of redemption. That means that just as the Lord Jesus came to us, the Word is made flesh in the heart of Mary, and just as the crown of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the definitive sign of the triumph of the resurrection, is the assumption of Mary. Mary, who is the perfect creature, the perfect beloved of God, the type and sign and figure of the Church, so too we can see that Mary's heart is the splendor of the Church. But her heart is a human heart. Her heart is filled with the love of God, and in the mystery of salvation and the mystery of love, in some way we can say that her heart suffers. That is a mystery that is hard for us to wrap our minds around. How is it that God, in His perfection, in His eternity, in His immovability and changelessness, can be changed, can suffer? And how can a perfect heart, a heart assumed into heaven, be influenced by the weaknesses and the sins of those who are not yet fully one with God? I think the mystery itself can only be approached in terms of love. Love longs for total union with the beloved. Love desires the beloved to be free. Love desires the beloved to be who she or who he is called to be in the face of God. And so that distance, that longing, that separation, all that is not love, calls for a response of love. And that love is enduring suffering. And Mary's apparition to the shepherd children in Fatima, she called for reparation. Reparation for the sins against her immaculate heart. My brothers and sisters, sins against her immaculate heart are ultimately sins against God. Because God has desired the human heart to be totally one with Him. And to deny the possibility in the dogmatically infallible statement of the Church that Mary is assumed into heaven, immaculate, the Virgin Mother, that her heart is totally one with God, that is, in a way, an affront against us as human beings. But more importantly, it is a sin against God. It is an assault against the plan of God and the possibility for God to redeem us. We also see in Mary a type and figure of the Church. That means that Mary in her maternity in heaven is a sign of the Church in her maternity in heaven and on earth. And we know that the Church herself is not totally free. We know that the Church herself suffers. We know that the primary cause of that suffering is the infidelity of her members. What causes the church most to suffer is when we are not faithful to God. We can be persecuted by enemies of the church. We can be scorned by those who have been hurt by Christians. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, what defiles the church is when we don't live our vocations. When those who are called and drawn close to God, those who are nourished by the Eucharist, those who have been claimed by baptism and confirmation, who appeal to the sacrament of confession for reconciliation, when we ourselves are not witnesses of love. Of all the pains and sorrows in the heart of Mary, we must also include ourselves in that lie. The first Saturday devotions are also a cause for hope, because Mary said in Fatima, "In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph." In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. So we come to Mary also to participate in her triumph, to look to her to see the triumph of love in the heart of the church and also in the heart of the world, for us to shed all those things that distract us, to rid ourselves, to be delivered of those things that belittle us or that cause our hearts to shrink, and to embrace the suffering that we are called to live, to look firmly at the road that is set before us, to keep our eyes fixed on the hearts of Jesus and Mary, those two hearts that are resplendent with the love of God, filled with the divine life of the Holy Spirit, that are the cause of our salvation and our hope and our joy. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, first Saturdays are a day of courage for the church to look and to contemplate who she truly is, by looking and contemplating upon the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a suffering heart, a heart that, according to her apparition in Fatima, now carries a crown of thorns. We know that it is her participation in the suffering of Christ that is that crown. And therefore, it is also our participation, so that St. Paul can say in the letter to the Colossians, "I make up in my own suffering what is lacking in the body of Christ, the Church." We don't look to suffer, and we don't want to suffer, and we don't call upon the Lord for particular occasions to suffer. There aren't occasions for it in our lives. But where our nobility is elevated as Christians is how we face the suffering that we do have. When we can surrender our hearts completely to God, to say that God is sufficient for me. I don't need to look to the human respect of others for my security. I don't need to look for the consolations of my status or the comforts of my life for my own stability. I rest in God's love for me. My brothers and sisters, this is the path of the renewal of the human heart. As we follow the Lord by having our eyes fixed on the heart of Mary, our hearts become more like hers. First Friday is also a devotion where we call upon Our Lady to have all the authority that God has given her in our lives personally. We give her the authority to give birth to the heart of Christ in us. Concretely, the way that the heart of Christ is formed in our hearts is through the sacraments. The sacraments reconfigure and shape us so our hearts are configured to the heart of Christ. And the heart who is perfectly disposed for that mission, the heart who is perfectly capable of forming the heart of Christ in others, is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so we dispose ourselves to her maternity. We ask her to shape our hearts, to help us grow in fortitude, in temperance, in courage, in prudence, and faith, and hope, and love, and all the virtues. And see, the virtues are the crowning of the freedom of our hearts. Now, as we begin as a community these first Saturday devotions, we also bring in a particular way a specific intention this year. For we live the year for priests. Pope Benedict XVI has called for a renewal of the Church by the conversion of her priests. And I speak this with all, not with all knowledge, but with a good deal of knowledge of realizing that I need help as a priest. I need help to be converted to follow Christ. I need help to be faithful to the man that the Lord has called me to be as a priest. My brothers and sisters, every priest needs our prayers. That's why we pray for priests in the Eucharistic prayer every time we pray. That the triumph, the visible sign of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart in the life of the Church is always the saints. But the visible sign sacramentally of that triumph is the priesthood. Because the heart of Jesus lives on in history. St. John Vianney said that the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus Christ. And that means the priest is one who is called to be totally born of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that his own heart has been reconfigured and shaped through mature choices of love to be a living image and presence of the heart of Jesus Christ. So that his own heart can make him present in the Holy Eucharist. So that he speaks the words of our Lord Jesus and forgives sins. So that he's able to cast out demons and announce the Word of God with authority. My brothers and sisters, the priesthood is at the heart of the Church because the Eucharist is the heart of the Church. And this year, in these first Saturday devotions, in a particular way, as a parish, in faithful obedience and in loving communion with the heart of Peter, we desire to bring every priest to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We desire for every priest to receive the graces of the rosaries that we pray. We desire every priest to be delivered from whatever spirits vex him. And we desire priests who are most in need of the mercy of God to come home to the fountain of grace and be reborn and be renewed and be recommitted and to be living signs of the divine mercy, having drank deeply of the Lord's love. And we desire the gift of apostolic preaching to be abundant in the life of the Church, for the kingdom of God to enter our hearts through the blessing of parousia, of apostolic boldness, as Peter and John prayed for following Pentecost. So my brothers and sisters, these first Saturday devotions, we pray because Mary has asked us. And we bring our hearts here because we know above and before anyone else, we need help. We need Mary to intercede so that the heart of Christ is fully free in us. And we also do this in communion with the heart of Peter, so that the priesthood, the heart of Jesus Christ, the love of the heart of Jesus may be free in the Church, and therefore the Church may be free to be who she is.